following a study of God's plan, as well as His promises, as well as His purpose. Today we take a look at the providence of God for our lives. First off, look at the fact that God provided for people as the creation was begun. Back in the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve are here. They're placed in a garden of paradise. They are asked to dress and to till that garden. They're asked to stay away from the tree in the midst of the garden, the fruit of which is the fruit of good and evil. Of course, they violated that rule, and thus they were banished from that garden until the day that they returned to the dust of the ground from whence they were made. When you and I take a look at what God provided for them, providence, a wonderful paradise, a place to live, to eat, to survive, and yet they turned away from it in order to obtain the tree of the knowledge of good and evil's fruit. And as a result, they disobeyed God, and God placed them outside the garden. As we continue on the Old Testament of the Bible, we read vivid detail in regard to God's care for them again and again. It's filled in the book of Psalms by David's writings about how God protects us and provides for us. You know the familiar Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He provides for me, notice, He provides for me a place by the rivers of water. He provides for me in every way, in every good way, in every godly way. What a wonderful psalm it is. And it's one of many there in the book of Psalms of God's provision, as David writes about it. A little bit later in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3 and verse 5, Solomon writes, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path." Notice how God will provide for you if, in fact, Solomon says, you trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean to your own understanding. When we lean to our own understanding, we have a limited way in which we can see the outcome of a situation. We may see the outcome by way of our feelings, our personal vanities, and as a result continue that way until we are really severely harmed. But if we will follow God's way, He'll tell us the end at the beginning. And as a result of that, as you read vividly in the book of Isaiah chapter 40 and down at verse 31, you will see those that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Yes, indeed, we find ourselves by God's leadership and guidance having the providential care at His hands. In the New Testament of our Bible, we see where Jesus talks about providing for them. In the Great Commission of Matthew 28, 18 through 20, He says, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Teach them and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, to the end of the world." How long does Jesus abide with us if we'll teach His word to others and practice that way of life to be in Christ Jesus? Why, we find the blessings of God to be with us, and He'll be with us always, even to the end of the world. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus had said about the physical blessings of life in Matthew 5 that the rain comes to the just and the unjust, and the sun shines on the just and the unjust alike. These are physical blessings, and because they're so deceptive to us sometimes, we find ourselves thinking that we're right with God because we have a good garden, good fields, good herds and flocks and so forth, a lot of money in our pocket, a lot of availability to a house and clothes and food, and we're blessed by God. We are blessed in the physical way as God would bless anyone, whether they are just or unjust. It is the case that the sun shines on the just and the unjust, and the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. These are physical blessings God has benefited to everyone and provides for them so that hopefully they'll look up and thank God for the rains that come and the harvest that is there abundant. But sometimes that does not occur. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul writes that God is to be blessed, and that he has in fact provided all spiritual blessings in Christ. How many spiritual blessings did he put in Christ? All spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. If they're all in Christ Jesus, I need to be in Christ, don't I? I need to be into him. And I find that a faith in him is important, as we read of Jesus' words in John 6 and verse 29, when he says, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent." Further, Jesus commanded us to repent of our sins in Luke 13, verse 3, and to confess publicly that he is our Lord in Matthew 10 and verse 32, telling the disciples, "Go and teach and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit." We find the conditional statement made in Mark chapter 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." And thus the hope that you and I have of coming into Christ and enjoying that salvation, which is a spiritual blessing, comes only by coming into Christ. Paul writes about being baptized into Christ and how we put on Christ in Galatians 3, beginning verse 24 through verse 28 of that chapter. And notice how that he talked about baptism being a new life begun in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 17. And so God provides for us through his Son Jesus Christ spiritual blessings that we can reach out and accept. More than this, in Romans chapter 8, Paul writes, "We know that all things will work together for good to them that love the Lord, and to those that are the called according to his purpose." Notice in Romans chapter 8, he tells us in the midst of this chapter, beginning at verse 24, "We know that all things work together for good." He didn't say that all things were good. He didn't say that all things were good at all, but he said all things will work together for good. Bad, you've seen it in your life, that's turned out not to be so bad, to be for a good thing for you. And helpful thing for you. You have observed that and you've seen that in your life. And as a result of that, look up and thank God for such a blessing as this. As we find ourselves looking in God's will and God's way, we find ourselves enjoying that which he has provided for us in a spiritual way. All spiritual blessings being in Christ, Ephesians 1 and verse 3, and salvation being in Christ as a believer is baptized into him, we find a relationship with him to glorify God throughout all ages, world without end, in Ephesians 3 and verse 21. Now in this passage we say, "Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think." You see, we've been praying about it. We've been talking to God about it. But he says, if you'll do this way of life, you will find that blessing. "I will bless you above what you ask or think. If you will glorify me in the church by Christ Jesus, world without end." If you'll do that, if you'll glorify me in the church, not sometimes in and most of the time out, not sometimes in and all the way out, but always in the church, glorify God throughout all ages, world without end. He said he will abundantly bless us, and we'll find that provided to our lives in the sense of what is written in Romans 8. If we love him and we keep his commandments and teachings, we'll find the blessing spiritually from God always is there. We'll know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and those that are the called according to his purpose. Then I ask of you today to think about where you are in a relationship with God. Do you find yourself continuing to love him and as a result enjoy the potential blessings that he has in store for you, especially in the spiritual arena of life, that he will bless you with forgiveness and salvation and hope? Romans chapter 8 verse 24, he will say, "We are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why yet doth he hope for it?" But he talks about the salvation that comes from God by hope of the soul. You and I need to go that way, the way of hope in him. We'll find the wonderful blessings that God provided for us. And as we do, we'll often look up and say, "You know, I didn't think this would be the outcome. I didn't plan for this to be the outcome. I didn't know how this would come to be the outcome, but it did nevertheless come to be the outcome for our daily walk of life, only attributed to one source. God was in it. Somehow, God turned that which was not so good into being good, because all things work together for good to them that love Him and are called according to His purpose. May God bless you in your study of the providence of God. And one example as I close today, the example of Onesimus, a slave in the days of Philemon. He, somehow or another, being reared by a man who served God and loved God and did right things for God, yet he was not content. He wanted to be free, and he escaped and left Onesimus. He left Philemon at home. Somewhere along the way, Onesimus ran into, perhaps in Rome, Apostle Paul. Paul is there, and he makes a friendship with him and talks with him. I can only imagine what it was like as Paul was a friend to him and talked with him. And one day, perhaps as they were out looking at the waters and looking at the mountains around there in Rome, he made a comment about our eternal home and how God has an eternal home for us. And Onesimus inquired, "What is this about an eternal home?" And he told him about these great blessings that are found in Christ Jesus, how we come to be blessed in Christ, and how we can be there in that hope. Then he begins to tell him, as he obeys the gospel and becomes a New Testament Christian, that his responsibility as an outlaw in the government side of the Roman Empire is not to continue to run and be a vagabond like that, but to go back to his master, the Christian man. And here's a letter that Paul will send to Philemon, and here Onesimus comes back home. He brings this letter. And in Philemon chapter 1 and verse 15, we read a word here that's significant to our study of providence today. It is said, "Perhaps it is that he left you for a season." He ran away from you. He was gone. We met. He's now a Christian. Perhaps it was that he left you for a season, that you and he might be together forever. What about this way of life? A way that's serving God. And Paul writes to Philemon and says, "Hey, if there's something that he owes you because he left you out and they're cold and everything, I will pay it myself. Please let me know what it is that you owed by him, because he's profitable to you and to me also now in the gospel of Christ." Perhaps it was that his escape, perhaps in his travels, he found himself there with Paul. Perhaps it was that Paul used good methodologies to teach him about the Lord and his home in heaven. Perhaps it was he humbled his spirit so that he came back to his master, came back home to Philemon with a letter of forgiveness and a letter that says, Philemon 1 verse 15, "Perhaps he left you for a season, that he might be united with you forever." You will often look up and say, "Thanks to God for the blessing that took place." Old songwriter several years ago wrote this particular thing where he thanked God for an unanswered prayer when he met up with his old girlfriend many years later at a reunion. And he was happily married with his present wife, and how that he looked at her now saying, "You know, there was a plan back yonder where I prayed about it every night, and yet it did not turn out that way. And it turned out to a betterment. Thank God for unanswered prayer." Well, you can thank God for a lot of answered prayers, because you're going to be praying about the things that you do for the Lord's sake and His will. And thus, perhaps it'll be that they're answered. They always work together for your good if you love God and are you called according to His purpose.